You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome. I'm Guy, that's John. We are live on YouTube on Monday afternoon or in your podcast feed whenever you want it. It's great to see you. If you're on YouTube, hit that like button, subscribe to the channel. How you doing? You all right over there? I'm feeling a little like
great.
I got a week off. Like, it's the week off before the Super Bowl week, John. Kind of, I like it because I could do 3 weeks before the Super Bowl. I love the buildup, but it's the little lull. It's a little weird. It's a little weird, so I'm bouncing back today.
Well, I think what it really brings into light is how shitty life is post-football. Like, there's not much on television on a Sunday, you know, and I mean...
Arizona-Stanford Sunday night. Did you watch that game?
I saw Arizona. Oh, Bobby Hurley's team's in a free fall. I saw that. Yeah. He came on my television.
Tends to happen in January. February.
Obviously, no one, you know, the NBA... It's hard to watch. It's a tough product to consume. I mean, I follow Steph going for 60, but that I couldn't pay me to watch any other games. Ended up on LIV Golf because Pebble gets rained out.
I watched
out
a little of that on Sunday. Yeah, what'd you think?
Yeah, you know, it's just it is what it is.
Did the Bombers hold on?
They got enough names that you're like, you know, it's Rom and DJ. They bought a leak.
So yeah, Sergio.
Yeah, I mean they got the fame recognition. But there's a void. I mean, there is just a void. It's the American pastime is clearly football, and that we got one game left. Glad it's the Niners, but once that ends, I mean, shit.
USFL.
I refuse.
I will watch.
Well, is Trey going to be starting for one of the teams?
I was just listening to Michael Lombardi's podcast. Did everyone know this information? He's talking about the Washington Commanders. And he says, let me see. Actually, I might be able to cue it up. We got on with you as I
think that's the case. So
let me see here.
Cliff isn't going to have, he's going to have impact. He's going to be a piece of the decision, but it's not going to be his decision, right? Today is
basically, he said like Adam Peters was the one that advocated for Trey Lance. Was that information that was out there that had been said?
He has been saying that over the years that he was one of the people banging the table. Right. With I forget that there were several, you know, a couple main guys. I forget now the Mac Jones. He was an adamant Mac Jones guy. Like Mike Lombardi was adamant it was going to be the Mac Jones thing.
Oh, OK.
And then like that almost that Adam Peters influenced John Lynch to then talk Kyle out of it. Right.
Oh, you're saying Lombardi's timeline is Kyle was going to draft Mac. Peters talked him out of it.
Lombardi was with the entire crew of Kyle was dead set on Mac Jones.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Right. And then when they ended up picking Trey Lance, as time went on, that the front office led by Adam was banging the table for Trey Lance, which I think the pushback always was that like you're telling me if Kyle was going to be influenced by someone else, if he didn't believe it, I do think he came around. Now, I do think it's fair to say when the party started after the trade, Kyle was inclined to go one guy and was pushed over time. Clearly, both of them would have been a disaster. I do think from a scouting perspective, listen, you know, it's weird. I've known Adam for 15 years. He is not some leaky media guy, right? He's not like leaking things. Like, he doesn't care. He's very secure. He's not a self-promoter, which a lot of guys in the NFL are. So it's like, I have no clue whether this is true or not. I do know, like, if I was in his seat, if we're going to take a swing on one of the two guys, like, let's take the guy with more quote unquote physical attributes, which ironically was clear. He actually didn't really possess those, but that is the right, like, I would have been, if I was there. Now, maybe he had worked with Kyle long enough. Like, why are we going with Justin Fields here? But that was clearly a non-starter for Kyle. So it's like, yeah, maybe by then, you know, like, it's pointless to even argue with him.
Right. You know, for people that are new here, I have long said, and I think you were in the same boat as me, but I've definitely, people will hold it against a lot of the reporters that said Mac Jones is the pick. And it's like, you know, there's like a poster that's like a wanted list of all the major reporters. People are like, oh, I hold it against, remember, you can't trust anything he says because this is the guy that once said Mac Jones would be the pick. And my attitude the whole time has been, if all of these people with access to information think Mac Jones was going to be the pick, I wouldn't just choose to ignore that information. I think it'd be foolish to just ignore that information. I also think one thing we've seen, did you read Peter King's thing, Riding to Work with Shanahan?
Does he have it on video?
I thought it was on video, but it's not. They make you think it's video because it's a photo of Kyle and you hit play and then it's Florio and Peter King talking.
What was he driving? Did he ever see the car?
So I was actually going through. He's gone six coaches.
I guess he's been driving the Tesla for a while.
He's been driving the Tesla for a while. Model X. Andy was a Range Rover. McVay was a Range Rover.
I think he was a Navigator.
Navigator, thank you. It was McVay and somebody else were Range Rovers. I don't remember who Howie. Was other. Who?
Howie.
No, he didn't do Howie. Zach Taylor, Chevy. Zach Taylor, Chevy. I couldn't tell, and I couldn't tell from Andy. So from the
CEO, he's been elite. I think he's him and maybe the CEO of Lincoln or something. He just
okay,
drove
Navigator guy. But anyway, Kyle in the.
I don't think Andy spends a lot of time. He just give me something big, give me right. some room. I can throw my shit. You know, he's just. It could be a Tahoe, a Navigator. Like McVay's getting the range on purpose,
right?
Kyle, the Tesla, probably through like Parag Jed connection. Like probably knows Elon. Wouldn't shock me.
Is Elon just giving out cars, you think?
No. I mean, popular car.
Yeah. I mean, so, but anyway, where's I going with this? So in the thing, Kyle, they're talking about the Purdy pick and they're talking about Tom Brady, right? The Brady story. Kyle's like, hell yeah, we tried to get Tom. I'm looking at Brock. He's in a sling. It's like, I went to Brock and said like, Brock, this would be pretty cool if we got Tom. And then Tom said no, and we stayed with Brock. But he was talking about the draft pick and how Brock was the highest rated guy on their board as they were getting closer and closer down the end of the round. Brock's number one. And John York is like, Kyle, what are we even thinking of? John's like, or Kyle says, you know, maybe we get him as a free agent. One thing's clear. We always make fun of the fact that like, if anyone's calling a play, there's no other input. Kyle's the only guy calling the play. From a player selection standpoint, he's very sensitive to not wanting other people to feel like the coach is taking over and just getting his favorite players. Because that came up with the Christian McCaffrey thing when Jed York said last week, Kyle's like, I don't know, it's a lot to give up for Christian. And I told Dickinson my theory was that Kyle was doing, not reverse psychology, but my analogy is like when you go home to visit your parents in college and your mom's like, what's going on? And you're like, oh, well, I'm going to stay in with you guys tonight, but a bunch of my friends are getting together at Senior Froggies. And your mom's like, you should go. And you're like, no, I want to stay with you guys. You're like, no, you should go. And you're like, all right. Like, I think that's what Kyle was doing with the Christian trade. Like, I don't know, guys, it's a lot to give up. But he does seem
sensitive. I will say late picks, like sixth, seventh rounds, there's a lot of swinging dicks walking in and out of the room. There's a lot of like, let's get this, you know, the first round pick.
Yeah.
To me, I would say any pick in the top two rounds. Once you get to the third day, I mean, you got food coming in and out. Bring Billy in here. What did Matt Campbell say? It's a lot of that. So I don't think with Trey Lance, it was a lot of like everyone. It was the main pack. I think it's pretty normal occurrence throughout the NFL. Third day, a lot of people like, oh, get this guy in here. Get our linebacker coach in here. Because – in fairness to Purdy and the whole the way it's all played out, once you get to that, the history, Jed was right when he's like, you don't love hearing that because in the history of the league, I never take, we've been talking about this for years, mid-round, the late-round pick seriously. Because how often do we get to the training camp and it's like Matt Breda running circles around Joe Williams?
Right.
One guy's an undrafted free agent. The other guy's a third or fourth round pick. It happens every single year at every single team. So as crazy as the thing is aged, they almost didn't pick him. I mean, he was – so if you would have known he would have been this good, they would have taken him like the second round.
So Kyle said they had a fourth round grade on him.
Which is not crazy, which not a lot crazy. Of guys in the fourth well, – but to me, the Brady thing, and they can say, well, Trey's injury – that's a more of a reflection on Trey Lance than it is Brock Purdy, right? Oh, I guess, yeah, Trey was on the
Trey
team
was still year. Around. Yeah, Trey was still there.
Don't you think way more of a reflection on him? Like, they're not even factoring that guy in as a player anymore?
Well, it goes back to, you know, after Brady said no, they get Darnold, and you were adamant, like, it's over for Trey.
Did I win that argument?
Yeah, like several months ago, you won that argument.
But
yeah.
It keeps getting like they keep adding variables that even make it look smarter and smarter. Like Trey Lance was done. Is it fair to say the moment Purdy started playing well, his career with the 49ers was essentially over?
You mean in 2022, like 2020, the end of the 22 season?
I'm talking is like he beat Brady, then he beat Seattle with broken ribs. Yeah. And it was like.
Especially, you know, the other reason you're really right about it, because they already liked him more before he started playing.
Who, Purdy?
Yeah. Kyle liked him more before the season started. That's what Jed York just said last week. Kyle said our third quarterback might be our best quarterback.
And even John Lynch, even if, because I know you and a lot of people texted like that, he's what? Fabricating it a little bit. But the way John said it, like it was clearly, whether it was the exact words, like, this guy's the next Joe Montana, or it's we really got something here. Not like, hey, I think this fifth rounder from Mississippi State might make the team to like, no, this guy can fucking play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so one thing's clear, and this goes to me like, for example, Adam Peters just hired Cliff Kingsbury. Bo Nix is in play, Washington number two overall, right? He just has to be. Like, you got to factor in offenses with coaches. Shane Waldron, the Bears. I don't think it's guaranteed they go Caleb Williams. Could they trade back and get another quarterback? Like, you got to factor in offenses. If I think you can run my offense, look at the quarterbacks. Obviously, ideally, like Matt Stafford's proven to be the ideal Shanahan guy. That's why Kyle loved him. Has the physical skills, but the touch, the accuracy.
Sean Elway.
Yeah, like that's what you want. But like, you have no problem with best version non-Stafford is like a Matt Ryan. Limited physical skills, but a really good player. The next version is like Matt Schaub. Like, they're cool with the Matt Schaubs, the Cousins, the Purdy's. Like, they are not after – I know he said it. Like, we'd want Lamar meets Drew Brees. We just want a guy that can complete passes. Let me fucking scheme the offense.
Right. Do what I – and can think alongside me, right? Like, can think as fast as I can think.
Where I don't need to scrap the offense like I did for a guy that actually, even when I scrap it for, can't run away from anybody.
Yeah.
That's the irony of, like, where they should have gone with Justin Fields. Because even if they scrap that offense to do the running, Fields is way faster. And Kyle's so good at manipulating run game. Like, imagine him and, like, McCaffrey. It would have been cool.
It would have been, but he wouldn't have been, you know, he doesn't play. He doesn't throw the football the way Kyle needs you to throw the football.
No, he's not accurate.
So that was one thing Kyle said is that, well, he said a lot of things. Anyway, he said that he thought as it got closer, other people were saying, like, I like this linebacker. We like this center. Like, this tight end might be able to play for us right away. And he started to believe that they wouldn't be able to get Brock as a free agent. And Brock told him after the fact that he would not have signed with the Niners as a free agent.
How could he?
Well, if only someone had told him, like, hey, bro, he hates Lance. Like, you should totally sign here.
And this gets back to, there's no point to rehash it, but I do think it's more of a reflection of coaches that are offensive coordinators. I do think are inclined to have a very, very unique, the head coach that's offensive with their quarterback. And it's one thing, like, you get in the doghouse. We've seen different guys, right? Ayuk a couple years ago. And when I always say doghouse, like, you know, we're just a little down on the guy a little bit. I think a quarterback is like almost, it'd be like dating or something. The moment she's just it's one thing when she hates you, at least she's still emotionally moved. You remember Swearingen's thing, like either hate me or love me, don't be in the middle. The moment she stops caring about you,
John is quoting Paul Swearingen from 1430 ESPN Radio, circa 2010. Just so people,
what was the stake?
Yeah, it's better to be hated than for people to have no opinion, right? Loved or hated, that's what you want to be.
I saw this rant on Instagram of like before he was sick. Toby Keith did this thing like, I love the haters. People don't realize how much money they make you. They talk about you nonstop.
What did Jimmy Johnson say at his induction thing at the Cowboys the other day, right? Thank you to all the Cowboys haters. But he was serious. He was like, you guys made it a big deal to be a Cowboy.
Underrated part about a lot of like the random brands across, you know, the big sports, right? Duke basketball, Ohio State football, the Lakers, the Yankees, people root against them.
Yeah.
You would never like, hey, I'm going to watch this Jags game and root against the Jags. You don't give a fuck. The moment your coordinator hates your quarterback, from a football standpoint, it's over. We've seen it now with Kyle and McVay. The moment they were over, now McVay couldn't keep it inside. He just told everybody. Kyle did a better job, which clearly the way Jed and John talked about him, he's very open. He's actually good at like hiding, like knowing what not to say to the public.
They're big on maintaining trade value.
Once they're done with you, you're done. Like, you're completely done. Nope. It's why this Purdy thing of he's earned a lot. Like, Coward was asking me, any chance, like, if he just has an atrocious game, right? Throws three picks, they lose. And obviously, the playoffs have been, for the most part, pretty rocky. Any chance, like, next year? A lot of buzz in the NFL. People think Adam Peters, who is also a huge Sam Darnold guy. Now, I think the difference is Sam Darnold, Kyle likes Sam Darnold, Adam likes Sam Darnold. Like, they're uniquely on the same path there, right? The Trey Lance thing, maybe they weren't. At this point in time, nobody likes him. But I do think, like, he makes some sense in Washington just to get the ball rolling. Maybe you take a Jaden McDaniels or Drake May and almost give him the Patrick Mahomes. I mean, the 49ers have done it a couple. Like, just take a deep breath. Mm-hmm. So I would say Sam Darnold, Washington, 10 million. Like, they can get to a number the 49ers can't.
Right.
So, like, that would be a question. But my point was, if Purdy threw, like, four picks, and which is atrocious, and the Niners lost. Like, this, we'd say the playoffs were not an idea. Like, he had a good final drive and then a good second half, but more down than up. Is there any chance, like, we've seen it before, right? Would Kyle, like, hell, would he call 47-year-old Tom, or is he dead set on going to Fox? Would they? And I said, I think at this time, Brock's pretty set for next year. There's almost nothing. He could have the four interception game that he had against the Ravens and is on scholarship for next season. But that's as far as I would go, is next season. That's what we've learned with this guy, right? He's pivoted now off two other quarterbacks to get here. And let's face it, he has the most on the line, right? Like his legacy. Because the way he's already talked about, like, think of what Mahomes and Andy are fighting for this Sunday, which is a lot of the stuff that you can't, the cool part about talking about the Tiger Woodses and the Bradys and the Mahomes. It's like, what are we really arguing? It's like in this unique category of just all-time greatness. Kyle's just trying to get into the category of, like, this guy's a champion. And if he doesn't win it, like, you're just not guaranteed to go back next year. Like, this, they may not get back. Ask Andy. He got there in 04, 05, and he never got back till fucking Mahomes. So shit can change fast. By far, to me, he has the most pressure, more than Purdy. I don't even think it's close. No one on the Chiefs that matters has – it's the Super Bowl, so you have pressure. But, like, okay, Kelce and Mahomes lose the Super Bowl. So they've won two, they lost two. How many guys can say that? Like, Elway?
Yeah, I mean – there, to your point, there's no scholarship with Kyle. So win or lose the champ, the Niners can win the Super Bowl. Purdy could be the Super Bowl MVP. If he doesn't keep playing well next year, then in 2025, we'd be like, Shanahan would consider another quarterback, right?
But you do that, it does quiet a lot of things. It's just like,
but I think we have to
separate. It's hard for the quarterback. I think I heard Cousin Sal say six of the last 10 MVPs are the quarterback. So assuming the Niners win, it's like a 60-70% chance it's going to be him, right? You just win the Super Bowl, you're off to MVP.
Yeah, unless you,
Kyle Shanahan won a Super Bowl, he's a Super Bowl MVP. It'd just be, I mean, you just get a lot of grace to, for weird shit to happen.
I think Brock has so many qualities that last over time because he's a consistent person. He's an accurate quarterback. He's a leader, right? These are things. Now, as the roster changes in the future, maybe the quarterback gets more expensive. But I don't think we'll ever look at a Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch team and be like, God, remember when they used to have a bunch of all pros? Like, I think they will. They do a good job developing offensive players. Kyle really values highly talented defensive players. You know, we're always talking about this scenario in which Brock gets expensive and they have to have less talent. But less talent than 9 all pros might be 6 all pros, right? Like, I don't think we'll ever look at a team with Kyle. Just look at his history, where it's the quarterback on his own trying to carry the offense, right? So I say that just to say, like, Brock's always going to have guys around him as long as he can be. I'm sure you saw the Montana clip on McAfee on Friday. Like, as long as he can continue to deliver, then he's in great shape with Kyle. But I also think, and I agree with you, that Kyle's got the most on the line.
Well, isn't Joe a good example of, like, you read these old school books on the Niners, like, he was always battling for a spot. He always felt like Walsh was out to get him.
And eventually he was out to get him and replace him. And he did, yeah. But he also had a lot of injuries, Joe did, that opened doors for other quarterbacks, right? Which is part of what happens. But I think for a young quarterback to win a championship, John, it can open up the floodgates. You know, I think Tom got...
Russell Wilson the best example in recent memory?
Well, I think...
second year.
Yeah, I think Brady would be another one where, like, you go back and look at that first championship, it wasn't all Tom. But it just opened the every Super Bowl the Patriots won, just about, there's like a moment where it almost ended. You know, like, if you go look, like, Tom could have easily won 3 Super Bowls, right? But they had all these moments where they found ways to win the championship. They had plenty of losses too, but they just gave them, they put themselves in the dance so much. I think for a young quarterback to get one, I think it takes so, like, Kyle's not going anywhere for 15 years, right? When it comes to NFL head coaching,
unless he retires. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean,
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, you won a Super Bowl as a young quarterback at, like, such a formative time in your career. I think it releases so much pressure and allows you to, you know, Brock's never gone through an extended stretch where he makes mistakes. And, you know, I think it just gives you so much. It gives
Look at the Eagles this year. It's weird because at the time you're watching, you're like, God, this is incredible. But I vividly remember watching that and being like, is this the best Jalen's ever played? He was playing better than Mahomes. If the Eagles win that game, he's a Super Bowl MVP. Then even with this weird year, it's like, well, this fucking guy won the Super Bowl MVP, brought the Eagles their second Super Bowl in 5-6 years. Instead, you lose it. And there's like this elephant in the room of pressure the following year, right? It happened to the Niners, and they crumbled with all the injuries that following year in 21 or whatever, or 20 after 20. 19.
Yeah.
Now, there were other crazy circumstances. I mean, they got kicked out of their own fucking county. But I do believe that, like, that's where the Chiefs win or lose. Losing the Super Bowl sucks. Whether you're Tom Brady and you've already got a bunch, whether you're Andy and Mahomes and you've already got two, or whether you're the Eagles – and you got Jalen Hurts and Sirianni that more than likely will never win a Super Bowl. I mean, it's a major kick in the dick. No one ever looks thrilled walking off the Super Bowl with the confetti flying down on one team. It is easier. Like, as time went on, it's easier for Brady and Belichick to stomach them when they got rings in their house. No different than this Chiefs team, right? I think that's – if this was going for their second one, it would be, to me, even a bigger deal. Like, the third one is like – they're already in that, like, Elway. Like, I mean, there's the only next category is like the Montana, Brady, Walsh, right? Belichick kind of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think a lot of people already in a weird way kind of put them there. Like, this group is elite like that, right?
I think that way. If they win, like, Mahomes will start getting the, is he better than Montana? Is he better than Brady treatment? Because we start talking about it before you've won 4 or 5 or 6. So, he's going to start getting that treatment if they win the Super Bowl.
He's already had the greatest start to his career of a 28-year-old. But like we said, whether they win or lose, I think that second one winning it last year in kind of crazy fashion. Think about their 2 Super Bowls. They were down in both of them. Right? Now, I would say the 49er one last year, like, Andy called a couple plays and the Eagles had no clue what was going on. They were in major trouble against the Niners. I mean, major trouble. And this one, I think there is just dramatically more Listen, the line, I don't quite get it. Like, I just don't see how the 49ers are favored. Like, you can tell me the season. Doesn't it feel like the season is a long time ago? Like, the playoffs are a separate season, and the team Steve Wilks just had to apologize slash, like, that's not allowed with effort. John Lynch talked about it. It's like, that's fucking this isn't week 7 against the Browns. This is the NFC Championship game. And they're talking about effort, and that's non-negotiable, and that's a problem.
I've never seen.
Why didn't they just say his name? I mean, were they Chase talking Young? About one guy, or were they talking about multiple guys?
I think they're talking about everybody, because Chase Young, they got asked about Chase Young. I was at on Thursday. I was there. Nick Bosa spoke and Fred Warner spoke, and they got asked about Chase Young. And Wilkes got asked, I guess, on Friday. And I told Dickinson, I'm like, dude, this has to be the first team in the history of the sport that in the week leading up to the Super Bowl, their guys on defense, like, we got to play harder. I'm like, there's no way that's ever happened coming off a conference championship game win. Any chance.
Isn't that the thing the Chiefs have going for them right now? It's like, yeah, they're not as talented this year, but goddamn, they play their balls off.
Like, what are we waiting for? Now, Kruger asked Fred Warner about it specifically. He asked Kyle about it. Kyle was pissed about it. He says to Fred, like, Fred, do you say something? Fred's answer was, I would have liked Fred to be like, fuck yeah, I do. Like, you know, Fred's answer was, you know, if I'm being honest, if I'm going to say something about it, I better watch the film and see myself give 100% on every play. And I didn't see that either. I'm like, oh, damn. Okay. Now, he also said, he's like, you know, that play, sometimes you run to the sideline, you think someone else is going to make the tackle, you get screened off, you lose sight of the guy, you think he's down. So he kind of gave him a little. It's not just Chase Young. They've been missing. They're giving up over 5 yards a carry right now. So to act like it's just, if Chase Young is the difference, John, between you winning and losing the Super Bowl, what the hell are we paying all these other guys for?
I want to throw.
Like, I'll say, like, I think that's the biggest thing. Like, don't let Chase Young be the linchpin to your championship.
I want to put an astronomical amount of money on the 49ers. Like, it's just their time. It's just, you know, everyone is leaning the Chiefs. Just your classic, like, how could you not take the Chiefs in this spot? The Niners have been shitty. And then there's still enough smoke where it's like, I just do not trust what's going on. I still believe the 49ers are going to win. But for these last two games, nothing but confidence coming in, which immediately went out the door 10 minutes into the game. I think the Niners are going to win, but confidence level zero, kind of expecting anything.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be shocked if they win, but I am not just going in thinking like, oh, this effort, they'll be up like 17-3 at half. Like, I'm fucked. If you tell me Pacheco's got 80 yards in the first half, it's like, oh, their run defense still getting. Because like you said, okay, Packer game, rain, offense thrown off, whatever. But to come out against the Lions and look like that just makes you. And then, like you said, they're getting asked. It's not just Wilkes. It's all the players. It's John Lynch. Like, this is one thing they always hung their hat on. I played golf the other day, diehard Packer fan. And he was like, you know, if we ever could just have half the toughness of the 49ers defense, maybe we'd have like 3 championships over the last 15 years. Our defense just always sucks. I'm like, yeah, this, I don't know if you've watched the Niners last 2 games, because that defense looks much more like you guys over the years.
Yeah.
And that's always what Kyle kind of hung their hat on. Now, luckily, you know, the crazy part about this game is the Niners are an offensive team and the Chiefs are a defensive team. But all we talk about is, like, you know, Kyle's teams always hang their hat on the front four defense. And like, this Chiefs is always great offense. Like, they have the number 2 scoring defense. It's the number 3 scoring offense.
Like, the Niners also have the number 3 scoring defense, but it doesn't look like that when we watch them.
Well, but that defense has not been playing in the month of January.
That's right.
Not even close.
Yeah.
It looks way worse. To me. And they showed signs, I think, the last month of not being the group early on in the season, right? The first 10 weeks, like, that was the Niners defense. I do think they, maybe as time went on, missing Hufanga, the defensive line, Armstead missed a bunch of time. Maybe he's just not quite himself. Hargrave is like an elite role player. I do think when you rely on him, like, they're kind of relying on him to be the number 2 banana, like, right. be fucking DeForest Buckner. He's not a complete player like that. You know, Fred and Greenlaw, they, part of it, when you just have D linemen doing who knows what, they're not like LaVon Kirkland and Bill Romanowski. They get blocked sometimes.
Kevin Green.
RIP.
I mean, they're relying on two pass rushers, Randy Gregory and Chase Young, that they added during the season, right?
Are not going to be on the team next year.
Who aren't going to be on the team next year. Lost Cleveland Ferrell. I think one thing that's happened over the course of the year is I've gotten a greater respect for Hufanga because they do look different without Hufanga out there. You know, Hufanga gives them an all pro at every level of the defense, D-line, linebacker, cornerback, and safety. They have all pro at every level. And without him, they don't, you know, even though sometimes you're like, well, is he really, you know, you look at the history of like all pro safeties. Is he really those guys? No, probably not, but he's better than anyone else they've had. I mean,
I'll never forget Adam Peters describing him to me at practice saying like, It was, and he's been going through USC for 20 years. When Hufanga played there with Drake, it was a shit show. And a lot of guys get caught up in that, just like at a lot of programs. But you couldn't find a human being. Guys clearing out their locker at the end of the season, transferring, coaches getting fired. He's like, Hufanga just rose above it all, beloved individual. Just a character, you know, this guy should be like the good teams would have died to have him. And one of the knocks was like, what position does he play? But clearly toughness and character stuff is why. I mean, how much does he play a role in getting guys lined up? I mean, he's an incredible tackler. That's one thing the Niners clearly miss is tackling right now, which always was like their calling card. You watch the Chiefs. One thing they've had in all these young guys in the secondary, they fucking hit. Like yeah. McDuffie tackles.
Sneed.
Eric Reed's brother, Justin's fucking big hitter. I mean, that was a sneaky great move for them. Right? Remember, they had Honey Badger. He was kind of getting older. They let him walk, and they signed Justin Reed. And Justin Reed's just a plug-and-play, really good player. Watson. I mean, they've just drafted a lot of good DBs. And their defensive line is just solid. Obviously, Chris is a star. And Willie Gay, which I would imagine is going to be out, but him and Bolton, like they have a lot of speed, like the 49ers are their two linebackers. But I just think their defensive court, they have the best defensive coordinator in the NFL when you factor in he's never going to get hired. Like Andy has a guy that just is obviously a top three or four guy at his position or, you know, at his job, but you never have to, he doesn't even interview.
No. It's not going
to doesn't anywhere. Even interview.
They say you're not supposed to give out multiple URLs in one ad, but for a great cause, you do it. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know? One man every hour, every day is diagnosed with testicular cancer. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men age 15 to 35. I did not know that. April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and Manscaped is donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. You can visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And, of course, use the code HAM for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. If you don't like making a mess, it's great because this thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, shave in the ocean, shave in the hotel. Code HAM at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game. And I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Oh, the places ground beef from Butcher Box can take you. Ground beef is absolutely the go-to item in my freezer. Why? Because at a moment's notice, you're making bolognese, you're making enchiladas, you're making chili, you're making meatloaf, you're making hamburger patties, and we are entering hamburger patty season. I've been telling you about ButcherBox for years. High quality cuts of meat, amazing value. Find high quality seafood as well that you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping, always. Today, ButcherBox is giving you, the listener, free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Just use my link, butcherbox.com/ham, and use the code HAM to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/ham, code HAM.
Have I told you recently about our good friends at Game Time? Here's the deal. Go to your smartphone, go to your iPad, download a little app called Game Time, the fastest growing ticketing app in America. You can go to any event, sporting events, college or pro, concerts, comedy shows. Just download that Game Time app. You want to go to a Giants game? Bob Melvin back in the Bay Area. Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, they've loaded up the squad. If you want to go watch the Giants play, Steph Curry making a little playoff run. Concerts all summer long. Want to go watch something at Chase Center? Want to go watch something wherever you live? A concert? Get outside. Enjoy yourself. Use the promo code HAM for $20 off. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app. Create an account and use the code HAM for your first purchase for $20 off your first pair of tickets.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think what's interesting about this game is you've got the Niners feeling very imperfect, like you just described. The Chiefs also have not been a perfect version of Kansas City, even in the postseason, right? They didn't score in the second half against Baltimore. They did score two touchdowns in the second half against Buffalo. But, you know,
they played better in that game. But, I mean, you'd say the Ravens, their defense is legit. Right?
No, there's no question. I mean, but in the early part of that game, you thought those two teams were going to score 30-plus points. When you watch them, you still realize, like, other than Kelce and, I guess, Rashee Rice, who's second only to Debo and Yak per reception. But they are just relying on a lot of guys that just haven't done this before, been here before, on their offense. I think both these teams have, and you've always said this, like, hey, good luck. You're not going to find a perfect team. Well, neither one of these teams are perfect teams. I mean, that's for damn sure. But if you're going to have Patrick Mahomes and a great defense, you're just going to have a chance. And if you're going to have Kyle and all this talent, you're going to have a chance.
Shouldn't the Chiefs be favored in this game?
Yeah, I thought that we talked about this from the beginning. I thought they'd be favored. And then everyone's betting on them. Everybody. Everyone's picking them.
They're the defending champs. They got the best quarterback and the best coach in the league. How are they not favored? And a good defense.
They've proven more in the playoffs, right? They've gone on the road twice in the playoffs to play teams that other people would have put. Definitely Baltimore, a Baltimore team that kicked the Niners' ass. They went to Baltimore. So
What would this line look like if the 49ers got two of the type wins that they have just gotten, where no one thought they could win and they had the history? Would this be a 6-point line?
Which would feel crazy. I just don't, at any point, you can't feel good going up against Mahomes. But my point to saying like they're imperfect is just like some weird shit is 1,000% guaranteed to happen in this game, right? The Chiefs are going to make some mistakes. Niners are definitely going to make some mistakes. That's most games anyway. But I think what's interesting about whichever one of these two teams wins the game, raises the Lombardi, like they're going to legitimately be able to say, man, this was not like we just won a championship in an imperfect season. This was not easy. We're not supposed to be here, right? All that, which after the regular season, the Niners were supposed to be here. But
they've been favored in every game they've played this year. Every game. 19 games, they've been favored.
And yet, like, we don't feel great about them. So it's like, you get to say, I'm with you. Like, I think they're winning this game. And the only reason I could see them not winning this game is the biggest reason you might lose any game, which is you're playing Patrick Mahomes. You know, who was it? Who said this last week? Was it Kittle? I don't think it was Kittle. They're like, you know, you look up at the clock, 10 minutes left. You're like, oh, we're going to win this game. I mean, the Chiefs game. It's like, I think we're going to win the Super Bowl. And you just cannot think like that. I don't know if it was George or somebody else, but you're just not allowed to think that way. I don't know. Did you see the Steve Young Eminem thing?
No.
Steve goes up to Eminem at halftime of the Lions game. It's like, he goes to his suite. Like, you want to meet Eminem? Steve's like, yeah, he goes to the suite. He's like, you can taste it, can't you? Eminem's like, yeah. Steve's like, you should get that taste out of your mouth. There's a lot of football left.
Is that like, is there audio of that?
Steve told Tolbert, or no, I think Dickinson told me he was on with Dickinson and he told that story. It's like, you can taste it, can't you? Yeah, well, get it out of your mouth.
Mahomes.
Oh, Fred Warner is the person that said that about the Chiefs. Yeah. The Chiefs game.
They sacked Mahomes in this last Super Bowl 4 times and he threw 2 picks.
You're saying it doesn't get better than that?
And they didn't win.
Yeah.
They lost by 11. Now, part of it snowballed at the end. But, like, that Chiefs team was better than this team because their offense was historically great. It's weird. Like, you just look at the last 20 years. If you're the 49ers, like, teams you'd want to play. Like, some of the great Patriots teams, like, that would not be a good matchup right now. you know, some of these teams, like, it's weird because you're talking about a team with multiple rings, Hall of Famers. It does feel like one of the worst Super Bowl teams of the last 20 years. Like, there have been some great, the Denver team a couple times, even that Baltimore team way back then, they just were kind of a little more complete. If not now, then when? That's my thing this week. If not now, then when? Yeah. Like, if you can't beat this team, like, in theory, top to bottom, you should be better. And the financial ramifications of the way your team's built, you could argue maybe next year, right? You're going to have a very similar situation with Purdy's contract, but it doesn't get any better than right now. It doesn't get any better. Like, no different than the Eagles last year. Like, if not now, then when? And all of a sudden, it can go like that. Like, the Niners are bound to have a year, right? He's got 8 playoff victories, Kyle, which is crazy. 4 times, been in the playoffs, 2 victories every time. I mean, that's pretty awesome. A lot of coaches not named Andy Reid and Belichick would fucking sign they'd give $5 million back to their owner for like that type, because that puts you into a great position. But like, you got to do it. Like, if you don't win this, I'm sorry. I'm not going to have great faith that it's actually going to happen, at least with this iteration of the group. One, just because next year, it's just hard to get back. Like, you're one weird injury away. Maybe you lose. Like, the Patriots every once in a while lost in this, you know, the early on in the playoffs. Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers. Like, it's going to happen to Kyle. It happened to Bill Walsh.
Well, if they lose the Super Bowl, John, I think one of the big stories next year is going to be next season.
I think it's must win.
How many?
We go out on a limb.
Yeah. Well, how many times can you just bounce back from losing, right? Oh, it lights my fire to win again. God, how many times can you not win and also not have it kind of knock you back a little bit, right? Where you have a hangover. Like, we talk about hangovers for the winning team. What about a hangover for the losing team when they've come back and come back and come back? Come back hungry. We came back hungry. We came back hungry. It just takes a lot out of you when you know how hard it is. And when you look around and go, this is the team. This should be the team, right? If you're going to do it, another year, you might do it with a worse team. I think it's part of what you're saying. It's like, look how good this team is. Well, I mean, teams that's good. Even with all the nitpicking like, on defense.
I know. Isn't it easier if you're like the Bills or the Ravens? Like, God, I just want to fucking get to the Super Bowl. I'll do anything to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, all these guys are looking around now, like Juszczyk, Kittle, Debo. Like, yeah, been there a couple times. Like, I know how this works. Like, you've tasted it now multiple times. And there's that drive of just never getting there. Steve Young, the monkey off my back. How can I win the NFC Championship game? Like, that's an easy one for the Ravens and the Bills until they pull it off. How can we win the AFC? Like, that to me, that is an easier goal than ever talking about the Super Bowl. Like, the Niners can't even, yeah, we've won two NFC championships in the last 4 years. And we were winning in the Super Bowl. That's the other thing. Sometimes if you get there and you play shitty or whatever, like the Broncos that 1 year when Seattle killed them, you're like, God, what are you going to do? We had a fucking lead late in the fourth quarter.
Have you seen that game's been on? Have you seen it?
No.
Chiefs went touchdown, touchdown, touchdown in that game.
They were after, so they hit the Wasp, scored, and then they scored, and then did Jimmy throw a pick or something?
Well, yeah, Jimmy throws the pick at the end after you like get swallowed up, sacked, and then, but they went punt, punt, turnover on downs, interception is how those are the last four possessions are Niners, punt, punt, turnover on downs, interception. Chiefs are touchdown, 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 kneel it out.
I think there are two type Super Bowls. Most of them should be like pretty even. Like, this is a Super Bowl, should be a coin flip game. And then every once in a while, there's the Eli, like,
yeah,
10-point under, like, enormous underdog that truly, like, what do we have to lose? Obviously, that is not the case. It's a lot of, like, we have to do this. We're not the little engine that could. We're favored. We've been the most dominant team. The other two good teams in the NFC, we beat everyone good in the NFC. Literally beat every fucking team that mattered, right? Kill the Cowboys, kill the Eagles, beat the Lions, beat the Packers, destroyed Seattle, destroyed, beat everybody in the NFC. Played one other good team in the – actually, two. I mean, that Joe Burrow team killed you. Cleveland was good, beat you. The Ravens, that did not go well. So I think there's kind of been Jekyll and Hyde with the Niners. NFC, no issues. You can destroy them, can find ways to come back. They've done it every which way. The AFC has kind of been their kryptonite this year.
The AFC North.
Yeah, good, just good AFC teams.
But the right? AFC North, that's who's beating them, right?
Yeah.
Cincinnati,
Cleveland. Playoff teams. Playoff teams.
Yeah.
The Browns, Jacksonville, the 5 seed.
Jacksonville, whatever.
Jacksonville does not count. Other playoff teams. And one thing we've seen in the AFC, like everyone, right, like that version of the Bengals team and obviously that Ravens team, like I would say the Ravens, Burrow Bengals, the Chiefs, the Bills, they were all kind of similar groups, right? If they all played 10 times. Like if the Chiefs played the Ravens and the Bills 10 times, they're not going 10 out of 10, right? But they're probably going
I think it's
6 out of 4. Give them a slight edge.
Yeah, because of their quarterback.
Yeah, and their infrastructure. But like you watch them against the Bills, you watch them even against the Ravens, talent top to bottom. You're like, are these guys better? That's what makes their win so remarkable.
Well, you watch the actual Baltimore game, you're like, look at all the stuff. They had to punch out a ball on the goal line. They had to. Now, Lamar made those throws too, right? But they had plenty of chance. This could easily be the Ravens in this game. But that's, it's it like could easily.
Yeah, for sure.
It's
like when I see people on the internet complaining, like when the Warriors lose and something, you know, Steph goes nuts. It's like, guys, this team's no longer good. They can lose any game. You know, that's like,
yeah, Steph got 60. Well, you still need 60 more points to win.
Yeah, this is a team that might not even be in the play-in. This playoffs, we now have added a couple teams. They're in major trouble.
Steph and Clay combined for 70, another way to say that.
Yeah, what did I see? I was watching the Grammys last night. Taylor, I was a little exhausted by the end of her, but you know, you think
you're team Jay-Z.
Do you think he was talking about her?
When he said, let's be honest, some of you don't belong in this category, that part? Or just straight up when he said...
Did he say this category or in your category?
Oh, I don't know.
Do you think he was taking a shot at her?
Definitely.
He's team Kanye on that one? Think she's a fraud?
So. Yeah, I mean, I didn't remember this, but I saw, I guess, Adele, when she won, last Beyonce loss, said, let's be honest, you should have won. Like, on her acceptance, she said, I can't accept this. Beyonce, your album, like, you should have won. Losing to, like, Jason Mraz or whoever, she lost to somebody the other time. Like, what album?
Do you think it's weird she didn't have anything like a Chiefs pin? Obviously, no. He can't be there. But
she should have been wearing a Chiefs pin on the stage?
I don't know. I heard someone bring it up, like, this is a good indictment that this whole thing could be a little fake.
But if it's real, if it's fake, wouldn't she have a Chiefs pin?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm saying if it's fake, wouldn't she wear a Chiefs pin? Because that's what people would react to.
They showed her a lot. I mean, a lot.
Yeah.
It was, you think, now the Grammys is about her, you know, it was NFL level times 50. I found myself at the end kind of annoyed. Like, can we see some other people? Now that Jay-Z didn't register with me, but you're probably right. I guess, you know, Beyonce sitting right there in the cowboy hat, right? Is that like an FU to her? Like, remember, you used to be country, you fraud.
Oh, now, yeah. What if Beyonce was wearing a Niners hat?
What genre is Taylor Swift? She's not country anymore.
She started
as
country. Yeah, no, pop, I guess.
Yeah.
Pop.
She announces her album. I don't know. I'm just.
Wait, is this. We started on something else, though. You're going to say something else. I interrupted you.
I think I haven't been on this team, and she doesn't annoy me when they show her on the NFL game at all. After watching the Grammys, I think I'm rooting almost a part of me, not even for the Niners, against Taylor Swift.
Okay.
And I'm a big Travis. Like, I have a lot of respect Travis as a player, but
I didn't watch the Grammys the way you did. Just sit down and watch it. I watched True Detective last night, and then I was like, I know I'm going to see the musical. Like, I'm going to see the Tracy Chapman. Like, I'm definitely watching that four times. That thing was awesome. But then there was I don't know. Was there any other good? Were there any good performances I should go back and watch?
Billy Joel sang his first single in 30 years. Didn't think he's, you know, throwing 98, I would say he's throwing about 76 now. Not
new
quite
song?
The same.
New song?
New song. But then he brought him back, sang an old song.
Yeah, we're not looking for the new stuff.
Billie Eilish, I don't quite get that one, but obviously she's popular. Yeah, I think Tracy Chapman and Luke stole the show. Now, part of it, I don't think Tracy's played live in a long time.
Yeah.
Definitely documented. Decades. I don't think there's any videos of her.
John, let's see here. Oh, we've got distractions. We're 1-1 on distractions. We've got
really, really quick. I saw this in the comments. It's a good question because I'm torn on this. What's your angle on True Detective with the ghost type thing?
Well, I think one thing that's interesting about the show is that you don't know for like 3.5 episodes. Is this like a supernatural thing or what are we doing here? You know what I mean? Like some shows you go in going, okay, they're going to do some stuff that's just not real.
Right? Game of Thrones with dragons or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. And like this one, part of what I've enjoyed about the show is not knowing. So is this a supernatural? Like, are they going to do some, or is there like a human behind all this or is some weird shit about to happen? So I've enjoyed it. Like I would say my preference is not like, I didn't watch Game of Thrones. Like I'd rather watch Masters of the Air. Give me like some World War II fighter jets. Real things that could happen. You know what I mean?
Is that a good show? Masters of the Air?
I think it's pretty good. Yeah. It's a Spielberg. It looks and feels like a Spielberg war movie or war show, you know, Hanks and Band of Brothers, like in that vein. Like it's good.
Private Ryan.
Yeah, exactly. The guy that played Elvis, which that movie, I didn't see the movie, but he's really good.
It's like 7 hours long.
What's that?
Elvis, I was clicking through. It's like 2 hours and 45. It's long.
I did not know that. It was just a little too like weird artsy to me. I didn't watch it, but just based on the trailer. But anyway, so I'm enjoying True Detective, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Just because it's like 90% human stuff and such a small percentage of that, if it got to, I'm a pie chart guy, the moment you get close to a quarter, and obviously a lot of shows go to like half and half, I'm out.
Yeah.
They just sprinkle it in enough to make it feel the overwhelming majority real.
And they don't, like, they, you don't know for sure. Are people seeing this stuff and it's really happening? Or, you know what I mean? Like, you don't quite know for sure. I think they did a great job putting it up in Alaska in the middle of nowhere. That kind of helps you accept all like this weirdness. Like, okay, are people really seeing this stuff? All right. One of the things, like I said, we're 1-1 on distractions. Super Bowl week's big distractions. We'll see if Eugene Robinson shows up this week, John. But we got a Patrick Mahomes senior DUI arrest versus the 49ers hate their field. Those were our early distractions. The Niners think the field's too soft.
I would say the field, I heard someone say they don't have confirmation, could be his sixth. Definitely verified third. A lot of people are saying there's a lot. I don't know. Once you get that many, I don't know if it is. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, it feels like, is getting a lot of extra credit for what he has to deal with. Yeah. He's got a thirsty wife who can't get her hands off Taylor Swift. He's got a brother that everyone can't stand. And his dad clearly has some issues where it's like the 49ers not liking the field is so fucking on brand. It's not even funny, which in fairness, the field might suck. I don't see why there's arguably the best NFL practice facility in America, according to Belichick a couple years ago. He's like, I've never seen anything like it. Why doesn't one team just go in the morning, the other team go in the afternoon?
Great question. I mean, I don't think they practice.
You're not staying there to work all day. You go back to the hotel, right?
Right. I don't think they practice at the same time anyway, do they?
Dickinson told me that the Chiefs naturally practice in the morning and the 49ers all through Kyle practice after lunch, right? Couldn't you go 9 to noon and 1 2 to 5?
Yeah. I don't know why they don't. The field is my first thought was I don't want to hear it. Like, not I don't want to hear it. You guys should have. Putting a sod field down on top of a turf field a week ago, you're probably setting yourself up for some weird stuff. But I'm not interested in like excuses at the end of this thing. Like, you don't win the Super Bowl and you're like, well, you know, we were so out of play. Like, there is no place for that. And it's raining. The other thing is they're outdoors and it is raining. So it is suboptimal, as the internet likes to say. But you can't have this, John. You cannot. I don't want to. They got to move it or don't move it or practice on artificial surface. Well,
practice is Wednesday. To me, why can't, right? Tomorrow's a day off. Everyone gets a day off. Hopefully no one gets in trouble. Why can't we just both use the Raider facility? You get it from a certain time. They get it from a certain time. No, it's not like Andy goes to Antonio Pierce's office and they go back to their facilities to work. You just go there literally to practice and then you leave. It's very unique that way. I would get it'd be more complicated if you're like setting up shop there. Right, you're doing meetings and stuff. That's not that you do all that stuff at the hotel. To me, just everyone go to the Raiders. They have fucking 7 fields, indoor, outdoor. When I saw this, I'm like, oh my, I can't. Who leaked this story? Obviously, the equipment guys went there last week. We're not comfortable with it. Is that why they laid this on? Am I reading that correctly?
So I don't know, but my impression is that I think the Niners had to you're playing on grass. So I think the Niners wanted to practice on grass. That'd be my guess because UNLV is an artificial surface. I think the Niners want no part of an artificial surface, right?
So when you've done UNLV games, you've called the UNLV game, have you? Are they playing on Mark's grass?
No, they play on an artificial. Now that's different than this. That's a different location. But at Allegiant Stadium, they roll in artificial turf for UNLV. There's 2 fields that are, one of them's always outside the stadium. The grass is outside. They roll in the Raiders grass. UNLV plays on a turf. So it's 2 different fields for UNLV and the Raiders.
But the grass is not laid out outside, right? It's rolled up.
No, the grass is, it is a 100-yard field on like on a track that truly, when I say rolls, I mean, there's wheels underneath a flat field.
Wow.
So the field gets sun, it gets watered outdoors. It's fully 100 yards, like on a big tray. And there's a track underneath it that rolls it into the stadium. Kind of like what happens in Phoenix does the same thing. Cardinals, except this, they only have 1 field there. This is 2 fields. So the practice facility, the Tillman Fertitta practice facility, is an artificial surface. So I don't know if it was by the Niners' request, John, or just because the Super Bowl is going to be on grass. Let's have them practice on grass.
But it's,
I know either
off.
Way, the Niners do not want to be on. Like, you just know the Niners don't want to be on turf. They hate turf. No. They don't want to be on turf.
Yeah, I don't blame them for that.
I don't blame them for that either. So fine.
But, you know, somebody asked, why do the Chiefs get the Raiders field? The Niners get UNLV. It's preset. The AFC team was going to get the Raiders facility and the NFC team was going to get UNLV. The Chiefs get to be the home team this year because they were the road team last year, I think. So I think it alternates year by year. Same deal. AFC team, NFC team. So all that stuff's preset. So I'm with you. The solution would definitely seem to be, I mean, what's really the work you got to do? Your trainers probably set up massage stations and all that stuff. Or the Raiders already have all that stuff. Yeah. The lift. I don't know, but I would assume the Niners are the ones that leaked it, right?
They've been having fucking issues with grass for so long. Everyone, a decade. Everyone in the league finds a way to play on the grass or the turf.
I think them being outside in the rain is also not ideal, right?
Like, God, they complain about this a lot. UNLV is not exactly Alabama or LSU. So, I mean, you are dealing with, this is not an ideal college setup, right?
Well, but I think I've heard it's pretty nice because it's new.
But
it's just turf, yeah.
Where does Fresno State practice now? On the field that's turf, correct?
Do they? They don't ever go out to the...
Maybe they do sometimes.
The levee?
I know they practice a lot. Don't a lot of teams with their stadium with that kind of brand new AstroTurf practice in their stadium or can?
Yeah, I mean, I did a Texas Tech game this year. They practiced in their practice dome.
What is it?
Well, it's turf in the dome.
That's what I'm saying. If I went to Oregon,
they have an outdoor
right now,
grass field too. Oregon's got a turf
indoor
practice.
LSU's indoor?
Oregon's got
indoor
two outdoor practice fields.
It's like, fuck, I would this have been a big story if it was reversed? I just think the Niners,
it would have been a lesser story.
They're just obsessed with the goddamn grass and turf.
I don't like a team that's feeling off. Like, I don't like it. You know, like, I don't like them feeling disadvantaged or off. Like, you're not going to hear me say like, oh, this is putting a chip on their shoulder. I just think when you are about to do anything big, being in your routine, the less amount of stuff. They asked Bosa last week, how are you handling tickets? He's like, I don't know. My mom's doing that for me. Like, great. Fantastic. I don't want you thinking about anything, complaining about anything, worrying about anything. Nothing. So,
if the Niners could have chose, they would have stayed, right? They would not go to Vegas a week early.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Chiefs would. The Niners would not. You agree with that?
You're saying the Chiefs would prefer to go to Vegas early, not fly in on like Friday afternoon?
Well, if you told them they got the Raiders set up, right, which is an NFL-ready, like, would the Niners complain if they went to the Raiders? Like, is the Raiders indoor?
It is.
If it's raining, is that turf?
Is it grass or turf? I mean, I assume it's turf, right? I've never heard of an indoor grass practice facility.
Niners be like, well, it's turf! Jesus. Maybe they just like, because it doesn't feel like their grass in Santa Clara is like fucking Pebble Beach or anything. It's just normal shitty grass, but they just are very comfortable on it, which again, I'm more pro grass than turf, but I just think a lot of teams in America, college and pro, in inclement weather, practice inside on turf.
Raiders. So the Raiders have one indoor and like three outdoors. So you got to assume the outdoors are grass because they play on grass.
Yeah.
But I Raiders would guess have grass indoor and turf.
Their indoor facility has to be turf, just like every indoor facility in America, non-stadium, right?
Meaning the Raiders, the Chiefs do get a grass option, but they are in the rain if they take it.
Yeah. And why would you not practice indoors when you're playing in a dome if there's weather, right?
Yeah, well, I guess the only question would be how many fields. You may need more space than maybe you go back. Sometimes you go back and forth, right? Some of it outdoor, some of it indoor, depending on how
depends on the weather.
Up.
A lot of this stuff,
defense outside.
To me, a lot of this stuff too is it's a little more walk-through-y than probably October practice at this point in time.
You've already done that stuff last week.
Yeah.
You did game plan install on Thursday.
This is an all-time Niners leak. Well, because it would have been very easy for them to do it right last week when they were practicing. Be like, you know, Schefter, the Niners are uncomfortable with the field. They just said, like, oh, okay. But it's like we had to wait till Super Bowl to let that out. They've been dealing with it for 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
But it's not Kyle or the players. It's the equipment guy that knows what they want. So he's almost speaking for them. That's where I already hate this story.
You think the equipment guy's got Schefter's number? He's like, Adam, you gotta help us out here, Adam.
Schefter, well, no, I think they sent the people that know how to do that stuff, and they know that Kyle and the players are going to be uncomfortable on whatever their situation is.
Yeah, I don't like the mindset of saying, I am being, you know, I just don't love being in that mindset at all before you're about to play in the Super Bowl. I love the, there's this philosopher, and I'm not a big philosophy guy. I think his name is like Ram Dass, and one of his sayings is like, I eat all things. I think it's a really cool saying, right? Because it's like, I will, whatever you got for me, I'm going to handle it. I'm not about making excuse. I eat all things. I'm taking it on, whatever I got to do. It's another way of saying no excuses, right? Like, I'd prefer that attitude Super Bowl week, right? You tell me, like, whatever. We got no AC in the rooms or no heat. It's cold at night. I don't care. It only makes me stronger. Only builds my character. It only makes me want it more. Like, it's a bad mindset to be in, John, to be complaining about stuff week of the Super Bowl.
Those days in pro sports with the money are kind of long gone.
I was talking to Earl Watson. I did a basketball game with Earl Watson this week. And we're just talking about like the modern player, right? He's like, you know, he's like, simplest way to sum it up. We walked, they Uber. He's like, cold outside, 15 minutes to practice. I had to walk. He's like, now you're in college, you Uber. They all Uber. Yeah, that is one way of putting it. That was a good way of putting it.
He didn't walk when he was an NBA player.
He didn't walk when he was an NBA player. No.
Oh, he's talking college basketball. College. He's talking college kids.
Yeah.
I mean, 10-year-olds order Uber Eats now.
It's just
technology changed the world. Yeah.
There's no going back. Anyway. Does guy know one team's practicing in the rain, one is indoors? He doesn't understand the complaints. I don't know what that means. I just, my ultimate take is I don't like hearing the complaints about the field this week. It's a bad mindset to be in. That's all. Now, if you can't properly practice, we'll figure it out, but I don't love that.
I just don't understand why they don't split the Raiders facility. One in the morning, one in the afternoon. I would imagine the coaches, Belichick, Patriot Dynasty, PSD, is, you know, don't like sharing anything Super Bowl week, which is understandable. You agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I do, but.
Because also, like, if there was not a large gap, I know, but it's.
You would think these two guys would be, yeah. Yeah.
It's you wouldn't share secrets, even if, like, Tim Cook's buddies with Elon. Like, there's a level of talk at a lunch that you might not cross over. I mean, fuck. Bill Gates stole from Steve Jobs and they were buddies, but you know, it's business. I just think, I don't think you give a fuck, even if you respect the guy.
Luis on the stream says, easy to say when you're talking into a mic in your bedroom. Make no excuses.
My office, homie. Graduated out of those days.
All right, a couple things here. Super chat from Run the Ball Kyle, 5 spot, says Raiders beat the Chiefs by running the ball, rushing 5, and doubling Kelce in man coverage. How much do you think the 49ers will emulate this? I mean, rushing 5 would be a little bit of a departure. It worked a little against Goff, but it really wasn't the game plan. Bosa asked last week, what's the key? He said, keep him in the pocket. So, you know, I don't know if you saw this. I was looking at the PFF numbers this year. Mahomes against pressure is under 50%, and in the playoffs, it's even lower. It's like 45-42% against pressure.
In his career or this year?
This year, which I think is probably a function of who he's throwing the ball to. But I'd be a little concerned about, you know, the Niners, when they've blitzed, I think Goff was okay against the blitz last week. They brought Greenlaw.
They have way better receivers.
Detroit.
Yeah.
So would you be more inclined to blitz Mahomes this week?
I would do whatever you have to do to get pressure. You know, mix up the coverages, double team Kelce, and make those other guys beat you. It's like when Steph's going off, like, start double teaming him. If, like, 33-year-old Wash Clay and Draymond are hitting threes, we'll tip our hat. But, like, I'm not letting Kelce beat us. What are these other guys going to do?
Yeah.
That to me, it's like you couldn't do that when they had Hill. Even in Conley and Hardeman, like the whole group of them, it was like, God, it's just, I think this group, it's like, we're taking away Kelce. throw the house at him. Because he's not, he's a good athlete, but he's not Mr. Juke guys out in the back. You know, it's, this is not Lamar or even Josh throw you off. Like, if you do get him, like, you take him down. And he will, you know, he's kind of a smart player that way, just kind of hit the ground. Whatever the hell they've been doing, where no one is even getting remotely close, like, that's a disaster waiting to happen.
Well, partly it feels like they've been waiting till the second half to do it. And this team, I can you wait till the second half to get activated against Kansas City?
Well, you're going to get blitzed nonstop, right, with Spagnuolo.
Which is, you know, it might be okay. I mean, Brock's pretty good against the blitz. If you're, but are your receivers getting open, right? He blitzes because he's got these dudes that can play man coverage.
Yeah. Well, to me, then can you, you can run a lot of like quick screens, get rid of the ball fast. I think you kind of know right away with Brock. Okay, he's kind of easing this game. Oh, it's going to take a little time. I think we've kind of learned that.
Yeah.
Remember, sometimes he starts humming and sometimes he starts like, ooh.
Remember what Kansas City did last year, right? They ran a lot of those jet sweeps. And remember, Bosa was like out of place because he was rushing up the field and guys are going by him. So, like, are they going to go back to that game plan?
What was the score of that game? Like 50 to 10?
Yeah, it was. I heard Jed the other day. Jed's like, well, you know, that's when Brock made his debut. I'm like, oh, yeah, because Brock came in the game late. It was such a blowout. Brock debuted against the Chiefs.
Oh, and then he got hurt the next week.
Yeah.
Because that was Christian McCaffrey's first game.
It was.
That was an annihilation.
Early. It was a runaway, too, right? It wasn't like a game for a half.
And that was D'Amico.
Right. Iceman says, if the Niners lose the Super Bowl, the team will be thought of as the 90s Bills. I mean, the 90s Bills lost four straight Super Bowls. So I don't think we're at that level yet.
The Niners just be in their own category, right? Like I said, with the Ravens and the Bills. Are either of those teams ever going to make the Super Bowl? The Cowboys, they can't even get to the championship game. The Niners are just like, God, they're just always right there. They're always right there, and they just can't do it. So they would have the Bills feel. It wouldn't add up exactly, because like you said, four straight, that's feels like statistically impossible. If you played that in a simulation in the history of sports with like any team, you would probably eventually win, especially a one-game situation. What do you win? One of the Super Bowls.
What do you mean?
88% of the time. If you just ran a simulation of a team going to four straight Super Bowls, they're likely to winning.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah. 90.
It'd be like impossible not to.
God,
I'd even argue the way the Niners have been now. You've been to four straight or three straight NFC championship games. You've been to two of Super Bowls in 5 years. This is the likelihood's kind of on your side.
John, the chat is correcting me. A lot of people, I misremember that Chiefs game. 44-23 was the final. 14-3, Kansas City at the half. 28-23 in the fourth. And then Jimmy was Jimmy. Do you remember it that way? I mean, it was that way. I'm not arguing with people. I remember it being a miserable game. 44-23. Box score skills.
They got fucking worked. You know, the good thing is, like, when you're shitty, like, people get very defensive about stuff like that. Like, when you're good, you can just go, yeah, that was not a good game. Right? That's a good thing about being good. Right? You just, I saw Andy said that the Raider game was a big wake-up call for them. Because I bet the next week of meetings, like, guy, are we just going to be, like, a one-and-done team, guys? Are we just over this? Or are we going to fucking rally together? And they rallied together.
Yeah.
And I don't think they've lost since. Are they... I think they might have lost the Chargers week 18, but that didn't even count. I don't know. Maybe they won that game. I don't even know. But games they've tried, they flipped a switch. Like the 49ers, like, even they've lost some real games, right? Games that they were right there going toe-to-toe over the years. And then they've had some games like the Ravens game where it's like, that was not good. Even the Minnesota game, like the score's closer, but it's like, yeah, they were getting warped for their standards. Most teams, like, that happens to a lot. If you're a Raider fan, you've been watching for 20 years. No shade, just truth.
Where is this going to go? Yeah, we're good. Everyone in the chat, we're good. We're cool. I was trying to see if they... I think sometimes what happens with the Niners is just that they... There's a way that they look when they win, and there's a way they look when they lose, you know?
That's what made those last 2 weeks. We'll see. If they win the Super Bowl, then we'll remember the Lions and the Packer game is like, finally, they've passed their some of their toughest tests, and it set them up to beat Kansas City, right? Because it is, and, you know, we watch this team every week, so we're most tuned in, but it does feel like to me, as someone who's watched football all my life, that they are on the extreme end of a team that, like, when they look good, they look like the best team you've ever seen. And when they look bad, they make you want to pull your hair out, and they don't win. And that's what the last two games they played were. You know, like I said, what they do in the Super Bowl this week will help us with a rear view mirror, kind of know how to evaluate Lions Packers. What do you see? Something's got your attention.
Yeah, I mean, I usually just click off the comments. It's a pointless exercise. And I'm a pro man of the people, love the consumer. I do think the comments on some of these platforms can throw you off.
I think mostly we're good, and sometimes something gets said and somebody reacts to something and everybody's fine. We're all good. Was the other thing I was going to say to you was I thought there was another chat here. Charlie says, question for the pod. How should Chargers fans feel about Greg Roman? Would his offense be more open with Herbert and a good pass game coordinator?
They hired him last week.
Oh.
Why do people act like Greg Roman sucks? He's been the offensive coordinator of Baltimore and Jim Harbaugh. Weren't they fucking really good teams?
I think the reason people act that way is because it's felt like in both of his last two stints, he's had to be replaced in order for the guy to try and get to the next level, for the quarterback to try and get to the next level.
Well, the 49ers, that was impossible. There was no next level.
That's right.
And with the Ravens, maybe he was better in the regular season, but I saw the same guy in the playoffs. So I don't exactly think he's dealt with Peyton Manning or, you know, Aaron Rodgers. This is easily the best throwing quarterback he's had. I mean, Lamar looked. I mean, what the fuck was that? That was embarrassing. And Lamar clearly is on another level than Kaepernick. But let's not act like he's. When I saw the reaction on social media, it's just like people act like he's. Think of like the shittiest offensive coordinator you've ever thought about. This guy's had a lot of success. Like, he was part of teams that are like number one seeds. And I'm not trying to act like he's Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan here, but if you just went off the people that cover football, the way they talked about him, no wonder so many people on the other side think like, who the fuck are these idiots? I felt like supporting Greg Roman in the conjecture and the way he was discussed by everyone with 7 degrees on their wall from Syracuse and Northwestern. It's like, give me a fucking break.
He's got a really high floor. I think that's one thing that's really clear with him, which the Chargers need, right? And he's proven that with Jim Harbaugh and a less talented quarterback, he can go to the Super Bowl. I'm fine with it. I'm far more interested, John, in the Brennan Carroll, Steve Belichick matchup for the Washington Huskies.
That's so badass.
Jed Fish has Pete Carroll's son as his offensive coordinator.
But doesn't Jed call the plays?
He does, but just for the sake of this, you know, for the sake of symmetry here. And Steve Belichick as his defensive coordinator. That's pretty incredible.
That's sweet.
One would wonder if Jed is trying to get close to Steve Belichick, to Bill Belichick and Pete. I mean, you think about those two guys.
Carroll was on a staff, right, at Arizona?
Yeah, yeah. Those two guys are going to be at a game together. They're going to look up the Washington Huskies are playing Portland State, and there's Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll. They're going to be at a game together, John.
At a game? I mean, aren't both of them going to be on the sideline more?
Yeah, practices. I don't know. They're going to be there. Steven.
What is the likelihood that the University of Washington during training camp tweets out, Instagrams out videos of those two guys talking to the team?
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, Jed's going to be all over it.
Steve Belichick. I mean, the Patriots have been good on defense. Even Jerod Mayo, in his opening press conference, defended. He's like, I think this guy taught me as much football as his dad. Like, he.
Wow.
I don't think Steve left. You know, Steve left to do this. Mayo's the defensive coordinator. He's calling the plays.
Yeah.
He left to
be at the DC.
He was not fired or anything in New England. Him and Mayo are like best friends. They're close.
Yeah, I didn't get that impression either. He just gets his own defense now.
And, I mean, what does the University of Washington pay? $1.5 million. It's not like he's making $400,000.
No, yeah. You would think at least one.
Recruiting,
and a half.
You know, would be
not. I do wonder. Signing day's coming up, but
isn't that Jed's thing? Like he's the recruiter, kind of, right?
Yeah, I mean, but like ultimately, your defensive coordinator does need to recruit a little bit.
I'd say having the Belichick.
You don't get to not recruit.
Hey, I've coached in the league for 15 years.
Hey, Steve Belichick. Nice to meet you. Oh, cool.
It's my dad.
Yeah. I was just Googling you. Any relation? Yeah.
Was Brennan Carroll his offensive coordinator at Arizona?
Yeah. Brennan, no D.
Brennan
Carroll. Yeah.
At USC?
I don't think he played. I mean, I don't know that he played.
You see the Canellis guy?
Dave?
You work for Pete forever?
Yeah.
Wrote a book about how he had like porn addiction.
Played at Delaware and Pittsburgh. No, I did not see that. Wrote a very religious, I'm guessing.
I think now, yeah, cheated on his wife a lot, had some issues, come a long way, one of those.
Overcome adversity. So like
good looking guy, you know.
Yeah. Give us an example of a time in your life where you overcame adversity and he pulls out his porn addiction book.
I don't think that was the whole thing. I just saw a clip. I think that he wrote a book about saving a marriage, chasing women on the side, cheating.
This marriage, the question that changed everything. 5 stars on 4.2 Goodreads rating by Lizzie Canales, Dave Canales, forward by Tony Dungy.
One of those, Sean McVay has bucked this trend. I don't like my coach to be too good looking in too good a shape.
Mm.
You know, I like you to have, like Pete's natural. You can tell just a lot of energy, vegan. I just like a little chub. You know, even Kyle, he's just a skinny guy, but I don't view him as like spending 3 hours in the weight room.
Right. You'd rather
your quarterback, I'll give him this. He's probably working out like 4 a.m.
You'd rather your quarterback look like Mahomes without a shirt than John Cena without a shirt.
Well, it's not even debatable now. All these guys, I mean, the Peyton Mannings, the Mahomes, even Josh
Brady.
I saw, had a body picture. Brady. I'm sorry, Derek, but you rolling up your sleeves at training camp and having these big muscles and then throwing picks in October, like, let's cut the curls, you know? You don't need curls for the girls when you're married yet and have 4 children.
Somebody said you should look
up. Remember the Hard Knocks with Matt Ryan when he got the ESPN, the magazine?
The body issue with him and Kaepernick? Were him and Kaepernick both on the cover, or was just Colin on the cover?
I think it was just Colin on the cover, and he was like, what the fuck is this guy eating?
Somebody said you got to look up Diana Rossini's Vrabel quotes. I don't know. Was there something today? I didn't see it.
I didn't see it either.
Yeah, I think there's there's something to it. There's something to that. But the thing with McVay is he's that way because he like you said, he's up at 4:30 a.m. I watch his team play football. He looks like a guy pretty focused on football. So, anything else we got today? How you feel? Oh, we got to do a vibe check. So your vibe's still good. Vibe's still good on Niners. Still feeling Niners. Austin says she said Vrabel intimidated too many people by being too jacked. Some people felt that way. He was too. Said a GM thinks Vrabel's physically intimidating. GM afraid of Vrabel because he's too big.
But if you look at Vrabel's a good example, he actually, as he's become a coach, a little chubbier. Like he's got the Harbaugh with the Niners. Like, you notice Harbaugh now is much slimmer, much happier.
I have noticed. He's drops totally.
But a completely different vibe. Mike is fucking massive. I would imagine he weighs 280 because he's kind of got a belly. He's huge. He is. How could you tell that guy what to do when he walked in the room? You just don't.
Harbaugh said he's living in an RV by the stadium.
No, I think their practice facilities and like
By the facility, he's going to live in an RV.
Yeah,
be nearby
Southern LA or whatever.
Amazing. I'll never forget watching Navarro, you and me were standing on the sidelines during the pick at the stick. Navarro Bowman goes running by, and there goes Jim goes sprinting, and Jim's wearing cleats. You know, Kyle should
still
show
does. Up. I mean, Kyle still wears cleats.
He still does. I know. Kyle should show up in cleats and joggers.
Jim's the only guy that can pull that off. Like any other coach, he'd be like, "You're a fucking loser."
It's really true.
You really
would judge another coach for doing it.
It'd be like, tell Jim that. It's a little weird, but he's weird enough you can pull it off.
Did you see them showing the video, Rashee Rice showing him the video of Andy Reid punt pass kick?
No.
He's like, that's not Coach Reid. No. They're like, no, that's him. He's like, no, that is not Coach Reid. That video never gets old. We'll see it again on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
All right. On that note, anything to add here? Super Bowl week, big storylines, big people. Dan Marino. Who's he going to pick? You know, we'll find out, John.
Media night tonight.
A lot of questions. You know, we just got to get through. I guess we got to get through Tuesday night with no arrest, right?
Well, I mean.
Or tonight.
It's Vegas. Eugene Robinson was Saturday night. I think you never know.
Yeah.
Right, I think someone's getting arrested this week. Not on the teams, but I think I think there will be a story of arrest or so-and-so lost $3 million at the blackjack table.
Well, I mean, it's a good point. I'm glad you said we could finish with this because this is a place that professional sports.
I don't mean players. I mean, I'm talking about former players and guys like that. No, I'm not talking about players on each team, the Niners or the Chiefs. I'm just talking the NFL as a whole, all the players in the league coming to this and former players. It's going to be a big swinging dick contest at the tables. A lot of guys are going to lose a lot of money.
I mean, I wonder
prostitution's legal there. Like you can get a blowjob and pay for it. No one cares.
The NFL avoided this place for a long time. Like everybody did. I don't know what year. We're not that far removed from Tony Romo getting the Super Bowl party shut down. That's going to get quoted a lot this week. So
it was a fantasy sports thing too. You know,
what do you mean
with Romo?
Yeah, it was but it was like we can't let you do your gambling thing in Vegas, basically. Right.
Yeah.
We've come a long way in a short amount of time. So, but Vegas isn't just about the gambling. It's also about the trouble you can get into, quote unquote. So we'll see. Big week.
You could argue, though, like there aren't really laws there. So what trouble are you going to get in? Like,
yeah, just
you can pay for sex there. It's legal.
No, it's not about that. It's about punching a guy at an elevator or whatever.
It would probably be more likely a fight thing than getting in trouble with hookers or stuff like that. Cause you can't, it's impossible. I think it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, no. I think it's probably a fight, a drunk fight thing or something along those lines.
Yeah. Or robbed.
Yeah.
That would be a thing I could see something like that happen. But there's so much security in Vegas, the cameras, maybe it's just equipped in 2024. Like that's just not really going to happen.
And nothing happened. Just it's a smooth sailing this week. Like Vegas is the place that can handle this.
It actually is.
Yeah.
Well, I think Vegas is now in the rotation. Like you could just argue it's LA, Scottsdale, Vegas, New Orleans, Miami. Like that's just your Super Bowl rotation.
Yeah. LA. You said LA?
I said LA, yeah.
Indy doesn't.
No.
Yeah. New York never. I mean, when was the last time we had a Super Bowl in New York? If we had a Super Bowl in New York,
when they built the new stadium, but it was too cold.
Yeah, yeah.
Who wants to go? No one wants to go to cold weather cities.
Mm-hmm. It's supposed to rain this week, be a little chilly, but
yeah.
Stadium will look good. All right. The Raiders are the host. Big week ahead. Thanks for hanging, everybody, and we'll talk to everybody soon. Later.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan
planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.